You're listening to the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio.
We need to understand as human beings that we are part of this ecosystem.
We are nature.
In the forest.
I teach many people, you know, don't cut the trees.
Through their roots because of the relationship they have with living microorganisms.
They do lots of really important things in our ecosystems.
And there are cycles, natural rhythms, this planet that we're so interconnected with.
We really need help. The Amazon really need help.
I'm a shaman almost 50 years.
The indigenous need our help. They need our help now.
Medicine.
My name is Yara, coming to you from Brazil in the Amazon rainforest. I believe something special happens to the human spirit when you spend time in nature, really connect with your surroundings, absorb the energy around you, observing the cycle of life, and being able to listen to the stories and knowledge of the local cultures who live in natural environments is eye-opening. You start to see the forest in a different perception. Trees become precious, plants, flowers. Everything has a use, whether it be medicinal, for construction, for cooking. You start to realize the connection that humans have with nature. So why go to the jungle? Well, it would be a shame to leave this world and then not take the opportunity to go to the jungle, which would be like missing out on the opportunity of going inside the great temple of Mother Earth. The jungle is the place where the most sensitive natural antennas that decode divine intelligences can be found. It's the greatest factory of medicines, and it is the ideal setting to have a natural experience and to connect with nature. Plants represent the base of the food chain for all animals and pretty much guarantees the existence of our life and other life forms. When you're in the forest, it arouses stimuli that you've never really felt before until spending time in the forest and actually looking around, staring and absorbing, almost in a meditative state. It's not just a refuge from urban life. You realize it's the dwelling of a place where man was once connected. Man still is connected.
'Cause when you stop to think what nature's given, don't you think it might be time to give some back?
The interview you're going to hear was recorded in the Amazon rainforest in Brazil, so you might hear some background noise. Introducing João da Silva in Brazil, born and raised in the Wapixana tribe. João will be sharing his experience of growing up and living in the rainforest and transcending into the city life. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for joining me.
Yes, my pleasure.
So can you just tell me your name and spell it for me, please?
Well, my name is João. It is solitrated by J-O-E-O, right? That's my first name. I born in a tribe. It's called Wapixana tribe. Our dialect is called Wapixana also. Well, the word Wapi means people that dominate territories. So we are divided in five regions. close to the border of the state of Roraima. So we have contact with a part of Venezuela, French Guyana, and British Guyana. So I was born in the tribe. My families in all, my brothers and sister, we are 15 in all, right? My mom married when she was 12 years old. So she had a hard time, of course. My father, he died when I was 2 years old. So I didn't have a chance to meet him. So when my father was still alive, he had an aim to never bring his children out from the tribe to the city life. That was his first rule and dream. Well, while he was alive, he had a high control with everything. Among the 15 kids, one was chosen to obtain his knowledge, because his ancestral people never had, until his father, they stopped having nature's name, which was very, very bad for him, because his gift that he received from his grandfather, born and true, that would give him the high knowledge to cure and to pass this. So my grandfather, he was the greatest man from the forest, right? So we do not have nature name until his past. But when we born, the rule that my father had was to all his kids, children, grandchildren, or whoever belonged to his blood, would have need to pass through the process of baptization, to baptize his children in the name of the nature. Because he said that if anything happened and you don't have the nature name, his spirit of God that he believed cannot act and cure the person. So he remained having the baptization with his children, but he don't give names of the nature anymore. But as long as he baptized the children at Barnes, for him it's great. So he said that his power would come back. Unfortunately, he died when I was just 2 years old. As my grandfather had a high knowledge, he chose one of my brothers, right? So one of my brothers was chosen to be in common part to try to take this on, because it's hard. He just cannot choose any person. He need to really see if it is adopted for him, if it is a gift. We believe in gift. So this gift that we are betting that he will try to take this on. So he tried it, my brother, right, one of my brother. He had to pass through a ritual having some scratch from an animal called stingray, right? And the stingray has a strong spine that allows it to dry. In a full moon, they call him. He comes also naked, right? They bathe him first. They put some herbs over his whole body, and they call him. And they scratch here. Three lines. Each line shows the annunciation of a warrior, right? So one line here, one scratch, it bleeds. He needs to have it the other side. The other side here, he needs to have it. So it's three. One is river, one is land, and one is the sky. So these three nations that he has put on his hand is the power that he receives. So when he goes to hunt in the highlands, he is about to have good sensitive of hearing animals, of imitating animals to attract them and shoot them. That's the best hunter, consider it. In the river, he is going to be good in fishing. Never mind if it's going to be a bad river or unlocked river, but he will always have his fish. And the last one is the sky. We believe in our God. Our God is called the sun. In my dialect, we call it Kamu. So the Kamu, we believe that the Kamu is the one that reflects our few days that we have. He shows the way for us. But when the darkness comes, we have believed in the stars. So that's the reason we have the three signs on his hand. He got this for a long time, but when my grandfather died, he lost everything. We don't really discover why is it the power comes out. Maybe it can be the faithful part of the plants that he had shown for him. So the knowledge that we have nowadays is very few. We do not involve, of course, many people today. But unfortunately, we had missionaries that came in to our land. Today in the Amazon, in my way to know and think, what can we do or what we have done? It's very important for the nature. As an Indian, we always think about the future because everything changed nowadays. If my grandfather was alive and I come to him and ask him if it's going to rain, he would tell me yes. If it's going to not rain, he will tell me yes or no. He had a high control to know about the weather. If you ask a person nowadays, he will tell you, I don't know. Many effects that we had for global warming had provoked many things of situation. So I know that many parts is still, of course, well protected, but we are trying the best. Our praise for our nature God, our mother God, our nature, to try to an attempt to try to receive our worship words for him, because we worship a lot. And this, we believe that if it's not on, or if no one are doing anything for the environment, we're going to lose a part of it. A part of my families of culture have been robbed. But my nature, we try to conserve this and preserve this. I'm totally sure that we have, yes, over 20 to 25 or 30 indigenous Indians that never as yet have been constant with civilization. We have found those people between the surveillance system. We have satellites research many places, and they found this group in movement. They have found us north of Belém. That's one of our states of the Amazon place. So the organs, together with the foundations, they call FUNAI, which protects us, or which comes together with us to have the notion what's really happening within nature. So they come together with a project and say that they will try to avoid gold miners and missionaries. Gold miners, because the indigenous Indians, any indigenous Indians has got a high knowledge of facilities to go deep into the forest and obtain diamond, gold, and things and so on. For them, it's not a precious thing. But for the gold miners, it's supposed to be. So with the satellite on up, they found illegal airstrip close to the tribe. Those people were in movement. When the helicopter tried to do a small research over, they tried to shoot them. Exactly, to try to show them that they really need the protection. So I know that the modernity lives comes change many things. So if the gold miner or the missionaries try to go in, they will try to rump things that we had as much as they have done with my own. My own is going to be dying between the pages of past, unfortunately. But what we try to do is try to go back to the tribe, tell them that the immensity that we have here, we are the warrior protectors of the environment, nature. And the nature is screaming, hollering, asking for help. And we try to do this. So if we have a total confidence on the government, but mostly on our God, he will need to help us. So we try to have this on function, to have our kids to know that we always born in the nature and we will always have this to share between everyone. Remedies, tropical plants.
Can you tell me about some tropical medicinal plants that you use in your community, please?
Let me go back a little past by my mother. When my father died, after a while, I was just 2 years old. Actually, my mom handled me back to my grandfather. My grandfather feels very great because I am the last brother. I am the last child. Between the amount of 15 kids, we are 9 brothers and 6 sisters. So I'm the last one. I'm the basket. I'm the shortest. So he was having one of a kind of a ritual that I had a bit from an ant, a giant ant from the forest. So that was when my mom would decide to handle me to my grandfather. Because the bite from the ant, it spears me a toxin that circulates in my blood, which caused the reaction, which is not normal for a tribe, a man, or from an indigenous man. So I was under 9 years old. The affection of the toxin, she was very surprised that it didn't affect nothing of my body, because it usually caused fever, headache, diarrhea, or whatever between your circulation of your intestine part. It doesn't have nothing. So she was she found it very strange, and that's when she called my grandfather. So my grandfather come and told her that he needed to spend some few days with me. So I went. So the second time, he told me that I had to have one more bite on the position of my elbow. If it numbs my hand, it would be fine. If it doesn't numb my hand, I would be having a high fever. So the second shot I had, I was with him. He blows me his incense called Mar Wipe. That's in my dialect, right? It's very flammable. It's very nice. For him, it's his God spirit comes to try to go in between me. He said that to heal person deep in your body, it's impossible to have water or solid things. So what he can do is blow the smoke, and so smokes can go deep in between my veins. So if you find my veins, he finds the sickness where it can be found. So I had a bite. He got me the bite, I scream and cry. And he told me to not cry. I say, how come? It's paining. So he had it. So when it start get numb, I start feel the pressure coming. The pressure coming. And that's when he took the incense and he blows it on my forehead. So I slept. When I slept, I woke up after maybe 1 hour and he was busy blowing the incense on my hand again. So each moment he blows it, I feel my whole hand comes numb and my whole body. When I woke up, I was on the hammock, trembling and perspiring, sweating a lot because of the high fever. And I asked him, what was he blowing on my hand? He tell me, it's a word called Marwai. My grandfather, when I woke up, I was sweating, high fever, and I asked him, what was it? Because each moment he blows, I feel the affection comes and numb my whole body. So when I woke up, I tried to feel my feet. I couldn't feel it. And that's when he told me two plants. One is called Marwai, right? That's in my dialect. That makes the incense of the smoke. And one is called Parika. The Parika is a root of a plant that he has this planted only in special places. And the special places he finds it, he always planted in the edges of his farm. So he told me that he would take me one day to go to see this. But unfortunately, I never arrived here. I never met there because he died before. Right? So this power that he had, he couldn't pass this knowledge to no one, unfortunately. So this plant, he makes powder out of it. And when he makes the powder, he makes his smoke, his cigarette. And this cigarette, he said that he used this to go deep into our body and see which part of the sickness will come out. So these two plants, of course, I never found it. And of course, it can be close to me, but you never know. But he shows me the leaf. I already tried many times. I always tell my mom that why is it she never learned and asked my grandfather which is the place or where the place is. So we never get it back. But even though it would be hard for me to use it, because he told me that one day if it's time for me to use it, it will be hard. Because he really need to test and know that if it's really is going to be a gift for me. Otherwise he cannot force no one. It can get me overdoped or over mad. If I don't have this control, it can control my life. And if I don't have my control of my life, I can just end up dying. So he rather preferred to die with his knowledge, and he never passed me it. And I was still young. I can't remember many things. I cannot remember many words that he told me. But then I went back to my mom, and I was already out of the tribe. When my father was alive, he was, of course, controlling everyone. But when he died, my mom couldn't control no one. So everyone extended themselves to the city. As the last child, I had to follow my mom where she goes. So once now at time, I would tell her, Mom, I need to stop. I need to try to study, to learn to speak Portuguese and try to get my work. But my life is my tribe. So I was already around 14 to 15 years. That's why I still speak my dialect, because my mom don't speak other language. So my mom had to teach me one thing. I always regret saying that, why is it my father never be alive? And one time, that's when she would have the chance to shut my mouth. I was going to the farm with her. We were crossing a small stream. And between the stream, the cow would push back. He was afraid. And I said, what's wrong? And my mom saw that it was electric eels was crossing steady, waiting for the cow to pass. So she said, hold on. And I say, what are you going to do? She said, hold on. So when I run back, and she kept thinking. And I told her, you see, if my father was alive, he would know what to do. And if he was really, really interested, you would ask him many things.
And she say, okay, my son, let me tell you one thing. And this is my last word. Never repeat this word for me again. You offend me a lot. I'm your father, I'm your mother. And I will show you what they will do. So she took the machete, she cut the trees. The trees fell over the small stream, the small creek. She makes a passage, a boat. She holds the cows help her to make it. And that's when I would be the last moment to think twice again to tell her the word. So for me, it was very regrettable word to tell her, sorry, I don't mean to do this. And you are my mother, you are my father from now. I never mentioned back these words until the last word would come back to me and tell her that why is it she never learned the word from my father? Because we use plants, herbs, tropical plants for reactions against any sickness. But we believe that we need to have the word, the conversation from the sky, because each star for us has a meaning. And each sun reflects that comes every day, it gives the power. But we need the word. And she said that she couldn't memorize the word because it's 15 kids to grow. And I would understand her. So in this place, now I know that we have many tropical plants. I know each one of these plants in each corner. If I go into a forest, I know each one of them. Each one of the plants because I have it in my blood. So I had followed my grandfather for such a while until he died. But I never get his really plant, which is really totally would be very fitful for me.
So you basically lived in the rainforest till you were 14 yes. years old. I mean, what was it like growing up?
For me, it's my nature. Well, I always tell my guests that one of the reasons that I had to learn to speak my English, my Spanish, to put it in proof, it was exactly to feel back my past, to feel my emotion, and to share my experience of knowledge, of culture, together with guests. I can imagine people that come from far away, from all over the world, to come to see the reality. And I'm here ready to share this part, exactly to show them what is the reality. I can imagine many imaginations, of course, of people that comes and many expectations. So when they arrive here, I try to show the reality. So our tropical plants we have here, it's very, very powerful. It has got many alkali, which is against any kind of sickness. But you really need to know exactly how to use it, the proportions exactly, because otherwise you can offend and provoke any reaction between your body, which your body will not accept it properly.
From what I understand, in certain parts of the forest, you know, you will get certain types of biodiversity. For example, you might have one tree that exists and certain species might just exist on this one tree. Is that correct?
Well, it is correct, yes, because we have trees, huge trees called samawuma, right? It's a huge tall tree with a long, big buttress. For our past, the tree represents a lady, a very big lady, right? So this lady here, this big trunk represents her skirt. So when anyone who has the gift of high knowledge of hearing things, they usually go to the tree, they bang the tree, take out the liquid. It can cure any kind of sickness. But there are special way to use it. And that's when we come back to the shamans. For us, the shaman man need to have this gift. If he don't have the gift, he is not. So it's now very difficult to come on any tribe and say that you will have a shaman. Sometimes he got this few knowledge, but what he need to have is the spiritual way. He need to resuscitate back. So we believe that if he resuscitate in someone, he will take controls of this. And what they do between their knowledge is put it in practice because they dreams it. If the person comes, he is sick, he do not have this affection immediately. He did not tell him the result immediately. He put his hand, he prays over, and he sent him to go home. When this guy sleeps, he brings back the memories. He believes that the spirit will come back in him and tell him what's the problem. So when the problem comes, he will tell him what's the plant and the amount of quantity of herbs you can use. Right?
Going back to, you know, the uncontacted yeah. communities that are still in the Amazon, I mean, there's a lot of debate around the world whether, you know, the Western society should make contact with them or whether they should just be left alone. What do you believe?
Well, I believe that, yes, they need to, surely, they need to be left alone because it is already more than 500 years past, you know. It's a long time when the first time the Portuguese arrived here, when the European had this, explorers try to enslave these guys. We lose many culture. So if we find these families, for me it's brothers, if we find these brothers for us, we try to avoid this, to have this contact with them. Because I know that I rather prefer them to deserve things what they have for a long time. Because otherwise, if they have the contact of the modernity, Western life, it's closed on them. And there is no more possibility to take it out. It's hard. I'm one example. I already have contact with the city, but I always remember my past. My past brings me back. That's why I feel great in having to share my appreciations of culture and share my divisions of the Amazon experience with everyone. That's one of the reasons I came into tourism, so I can feel and share. So I really, really definitely would like to say that they deserve to be on their own, because you can imagine a little child that's supposed to be learning the knowledge of it. It would be romped, and it's sad to know that you cannot resuscitate this back or try to bring it back. Unfortunately, it's going. It's like a water. There is no control for us. We believe in the water. When it goes, it goes. You try to block it, it will still find a way. So if this happens with them, they lose their water.
All of the knowledge, this knowledge is so valuable, I believe. You know, it's a knowledge. Cultures living in, sure, the rainforest, they have knowledge of plants that the Western world hasn't heard of. This knowledge is passed down through word of mouth, right?
Sure.
But I mean, with the Western influence and modernization, this knowledge is being lost. How can we preserve this knowledge?
In a part, it is lost. Let me give one example. My dialect is not written. It's just spoken. So my son, my grandson, or whoever, he it's going to be definitely that he will never try to learn this. I still try to conserve this with my brothers and sister, but I always remember it, saying that I need to have this culture. If I try to pass this to my son, I'm sure that he will ask me many questions. It's a challenge. It's really a challenge to try to get this on, to preserve it. But nothing is difficult. As long as we believe that the nature is going to be untouched for a certain time, we believe that our brothers, I mean the whole tribal people that lives out of their own solutions of God, about the tropical plants, about their knowledge, this can be as conserved. But I think that these people who try to destroy this, at part it will die. But it's a very hard way or challenge to bring this back. It's hard.
I heard of, I can't remember what tribe specifically in the Amazon, but in England I read that first time this has happened, that a tribe has made an encyclopedia of all of the medicinal plants within their culture, but this encyclopedia does not go to the Western world. It's purely for this Amazonian tribe. What do you think about this?
We have an institute here in the Amazon. It's one of the biggest, NART, right? So they have many researchers already have came from Boston, from Germany, and every place is. When they arrive here, they have, yes, the chance to go and explore, but they need to use as a guide the indigenous Indians to go deep in. Okay, so if he learned that this plant is this, if he need to use it lively, he use it. If it's possible to synthesize this and bring it across to the Western life, you can have it, but you need bigger laboratories. But there is one thing, the spirits of our nature plants, for us, we believe it remain. So I mean to say that if I have a cut in the forest, I have plants, I immediately take it out because you know which part it is. I know how to use it. So I just put a tree, take out the sap, put it over, take out a part of a cotton that we have. You obtain things from the material. You just put it over. It seals. So when this calls back, you're there. But one thing you need is our prayer from the nature, because we each plant we trouble, we need to have the permission to have this. So they can have, yes, many, many ways. The encyclopedia that you're talking about, when you have these words, or when you have the books, when you have the plants, it's totally known that it's going to be there. But there is one thing they will never get, is the words and the powers of that plant. It can have, yes, many reactions have occurred, of course, because of the alkaloid mixed to have any kind of sickness out of the body. But there is one thing, is the spirit. So you really, really need to have this for the importance of getting anything cured. I believe in cured and caught and everything, but there is one thing sometimes when my grandfather told me that there is no possibility of seeing what you have inside, what effect it can have, or what kind of plants you can use. you need to use the incense of the smoke of the mud wipe that goes deep in, goes between your veins, and defines the part it's going to be doing. So that's why I always regret and never find that plant my grandfather had taught this.
I read a book once called The Cosmic Serpent, and it's about an anthropologist in the 60s who got kidnapped by a tribe in the Amazon. They took him deep into the jungle, and he ended up living with them for 7 years. This is a true story, and he adopted their way of life. And he tried ayahuasca for the first time. And, you know, ayahuasca, you have the chacruna plant and then the ayahuasca vine.
Yeah.
These two plants, out of all the plants in the rainforest, cultures knew to combine together. And, you know, people in the West were baffled by this. They're like, how did you know? How did you know? And they would say that the plants told them.
That's it.
The spirits that's of the plants told them.
That's what I'm telling you. You know, since from the beginning I'm telling you that we believe in the spirit. That's when you come. So our we had for a long time. Our ayahuasca we have been finished. We do not have it anymore in my tribe. Unfortunately, because they were using this in different ways already. While the shaman need to use this mostly to cure things, to penetrate into your body with the spirit of that plant or the vine. Because with a drink you goes deep in, the spirit lives back with you and you navigate with him deep down. If you navigate with him, you can come out. But since then, it was only allowed in use of knowledge by the shamans. So that's why we really believe that anyone that become to a shaman is no one can be. It need to be a gift. So if it is a gift, it means that you will be the, really the person that can live this. No acting, no nothing. It need to be natural deep in with you. So the ayahuasca that we have been used for a long time, it was used, yes, for curing things, or finding sickness, or navigating deeper in. Well, nowadays, we caught this. I mean, my ancestral people had finished this because they were in use of this power spirits for bad things. And that's what the nature asks us to have it on for a good knowledge. So ours, unfortunately, it's finished because many people can do these products nowadays in a different way. But if you have the correct way, you can have the respect for the nature. And we always have to need it. The permission. When I always go for my jungle walk, I always ask the permission before, because I'm going to have some demonstration. I'm going to use a bark, I'm going to cut a leaf, I'm going to do this. And he gives me the permission. And we believe that if you don't give the permission, you can lose yourself, you can keep walking in a circle. So our permission first is between our nature. So he, the spirits will come, he gives you the strength, and you can go. You cannot lose yourself. He takes you, he's your guide.
For someone who was born and grown up in the rainforest, your people must have a really, really strong connection to the forest, to the land, a really powerful awareness. But we seem to have lost this in the West, or we've forgotten.
Well, actually, I don't really have definitely a word of having this, like, you know, because we really need help. The Amazon really need help. The nature really asks. He screams, as I told you. When I do meditation in the forest, I mean, in the lakes, in the night, with the skies open, with the stars clearly, you can hear words. You can hear when it's saying, please help me. Please help me. And unfortunately, people that are not concentrated in that place here, for them, it's nothing. So if this imagination comes on, it would be sad for everyone to know that it's hard or difficult to get this back. So we imagine many things. I can imagine my father. If he was alive, he would change maybe certain things that I never had learned. Or he might taught me more. So in this case, we try to contribute and try to share this out now.
Nature, it's not just important for, you know, your communities, your culture. Nature is important for the whole of humanity.
Sure, yes. Yeah, that's what I was telling you. 40 years back, or 30 years back, any person would have a chance to read the weather. If you ask him, he's going to... Let me give you one example. We have a palm tree that grows in the flooded woodlands. It's called juari. When it grows up, finally, definitely, the fruits bunch off from the pad. The pad is like a canoe that supports the whole bunch. When it opens, it forms the boat. When it falls from the bunch of the berries to the ground, rather it's going to fall opposite the boat, or rather it falls like a boat. So they imagine that they believe in the nature weather, saying that if it falls like a boat up, it means it's going to be a high flood. But if it falls over, that's when they remain with their animals or their home. Because usually Amazon natives or indigenous Indians live always between the riverbank. They need to make their house always out of stilts. So when this happens, they know, they go to the palm tree and they see it. If they find the pad is over covered this way here, it's going to be a low flood and they remain. But if it's going to be a high flood, they prepare the rushing, they prepare everything, and they will start move. So nowadays it's very, very difficult to have this. If you ask any person, is it going to rain today? He will say, I don't know. If you try to ask him again, I don't know. And if you ask him why you don't know anymore, because the time of the reading of the weather have finished. Many rumps of the global warming have been circling the whole part of the world. So the effect that we have today, we had the highest flood in 1953, that was the only one we had. It rose from 1 meter to 28 meters. Manaus was completely submerged. But never again we had this until 2009. So the change from 1953 to 2009 caused many, many different things. We had the lowest dry season in the Amazon was in 2005. The Black River, the Rio Negro, had been spread right down, dry completely. Fishes have been died out because of the temperature of the change of the water. So no oxygen, the water was very warm. Everything become dirty. And we weren't expecting this low flood. Then 2009 came in, so it would be having the high flood. It would be over 1953. It rose from 1 meter 29 70 centimeter. So it closed. Many people, many families have been affected. But they couldn't believe that this would happen again. So no one betted would be next 2012 it would be higher. They were expecting the next 50 years would come. But it doesn't exist. So it's each year's past, different things is happening now to nature, and that we know that our trees, our nature, the rainforest is sending for our help. He is in need of help.
You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the world who will deny global warming and will deny climate change. People, you know, to give you an example, a man named Rupert Murdoch, uh-huh. He's a well-known climate change denier. And it's all about really listening to the cultures that have actually been living in nature for generations and generations.
Yeah.
These people are the experts. They were born in it. They've been living in it.
Yeah.
So I feel it's very important that we listen to the messages. To
them. Yes, and that's it. So if any person right now, try to do this for himself. I learned this when my grandfather told me, close your eyes. Close your eyes and forget about everything. Just listen to my word. It was dark. I couldn't open my eyes. So I closed my eyes. As soon as I closed my eyes, the white lights opened brightly. My hand was on his hand. And he said, don't not open your eyes. So I tried to open my eyes. He said, do not open your eyes. So when I closed my eyes, I feel you hear many words. You hear many screams. Help me. Help me. So when this was end, he called me. Did you hear anything? I say, heard many words, many, many people in need of help. He said, that's the nature. That's the nature you need. So if anyone have this spiritually to have the chance to hear it, he is chosen. And if he is chosen, he has the immensity of knowledge of the jungle in his hand. And that's when he can try to save it. Unfortunately, many people don't think about this. The Western world comes together, they just think about destroying, disturb, gold mining, diamonds, and they don't feel how it is having the effect of power on.
But it's crazy, because it's like what we're doing to nature, we're doing to ourselves.
Yes, causing to ourselves.
Yeah,
that's it.
So
and many people do not realize it. Many people do not realize it.
I mean, what is your message? Like, if you could give a message to the people of the West, what would you want to tell them?
First of all, I always feel great in knowing that I was born and chose in the nature. I born and grow in the nature. Actually, my life is still in there. Never mind if I run far, far away. I will still remain my spirit between the Indians because I have the blood. So my message is like, each one of the person who listen, who hear or hear words, give him a time, give you yourself a time to meditate at least 1 second. Close your eyes. If it's chance for you to hear, if it's chance to have the chance to listen to it, you're choosed. But take this in proof that many things that have been changed, we try to bet this for better and better. We are fighting a lot. Many indigenous Indians were praying to their God, to their star, to their nature. My God is the sun. Our Kamu that we have, he said that he will always be with us. But the day we turn our back for him, he will be dark for us. And if you try to run back, you won't get it. So my message, please, is who will try to fight for the nature to continue, for the environment to continue, for the ecosystem to continue. Let's try to avoid disturbing things, because you will never have the chance back to tell them sorry or apologies. They will never listen back to you, because there's only one chance they're giving you. As having this meditation, you will hear it and you will feel it. So please announce this, pass this, give them, share them, because at least one word are you doing today, it will be multiplied 10 times more for each one of the humanity that is now thinking about the future. So my message is now to make it peaceful right now, to not regret later, because our nature will just out back for us. And if you try to scream after him, he will tell you sorry, but I'm out.
I hear things like, even in the name of conservation, you know, sometimes, you know, there'll be a site of nature that they want to protect, but they will push out the indigenous cultures who lived there for generations. In the name of conservation, communities are being pushed out of their land to make way for national parks. But if you're going to apply conservation in an area, in a protected area, we should be listening to the people who have been living there, because they're the experts on the conservation in the area.
Of course, because they're the one that planted their life there. Remember the big tree I told you about, the Samauma tree, the big dress, the big skirt. She is the master lady, the immensity lady, Samauma. She is the one that can put you over. She covers you, protect you. So we believe that if you go, each one of the indigenous Indians in my tribe that burns and grow, my father, my grandfather, my ancestral people who had this chance of this ritual until my age, when we burn, they take out the liquid from the tree, they heat it on the fire, and they put it over my navel. When this navel comes out, when it is out, when it falls out, they take that navel and go back to the trunk of the tree, they dig a hole and buries it there, and tell him now that navel is a life that he has given. So the immensity of this big trees will give him bigger future that what he always wanted. So everyone that grows in that place, they deserve to stay there. Is no one just can come and say move or come out. You will actually disappoint everyone. You will disappoint the nature, because as they born and grow, they respect the nature. If I go into the forest, I know how to take out the tree. I know exactly which plant I can take out. I just don't come and just cut him, because I would offend it. He would feel bad. So I use it properly. We give me the permission to use it. So if you take out these communities or these local indigenous Indians that born and grow there, you're wrongting not only the people, but the nature. They will feel bad. They will feel
robbed of their land.
Exactly.
You know, there's still, unfortunately, a lot of racism and prejudice when it comes to indigenous communities. They're perceived as savage or backwards.
Exactly.
What's your opinion about this? What do you have to say to people who think like this?
I think that any respect from any tribe, from any person, right, they need the respect. Everyone. Since you respect them, I will respect them also. If you don't respect them, they will never respect you. So give them the chance to have peaceful with you. If you go to one tribe, right, there's a tribe they call, I can't remember it, but they're my far distance neighbor. When they come, you come to their home, they're pointing bow and arrow to you. If you run, you're an enemy. But if you go and just do this, come in. So if you give shake hands with each one of them, you're going to make peaceful art for anything.
Have you witnessed any deforestation and logging of the trees and how this affects the people and the communities?
Of course, many people already have complained a lot, not only of change of weather, you know, but even for hunting, for example. If you go, he cannot find it anymore. If you try to go to fish, it affected everything spreads. The nutritions of appointment of giving the food for them, it's finishing. They're in search of this, and it goes farther. And if they go farther, they're wanting more things. So in this case, it is, yes, going to be a big effect. And we feel it, and we see the others that have also had this affection.
Is there anything else that you wish to add before we end?
Well, I would like to thankful any one of the humanity of people that would like to admire our forest. It's not only to admire it, but it's to give value for this, and it's to feel how it is. Is to see the reaction and contribute your knowledge of giving the pleasures to come together to the Amazon rainforest to come to visit, of course. You give a big inspiration for many people that you come from far away from the world and come to see the reality of the biggest tropical natural rainforest in the world. And it's for us is one of the way we can ask you to help us to give the conservation, to offer the ecosystem to continue, because we need this. We don't want to move to the city. We want to remain in the nature. And the nature need us, and we need you guys that are from the Western City to come to try to help us. I'm sure that your hand is biggest hand we have to wait. I'm sure that this hand can help us. Who has these feelings, bring your hands and give this open for us so we can help us, each other, and we can make this tropical rainforest to make and breathe properly, because it's suffering.
Many of our medicines came from plants from the rainforest.
Many.
I firmly believe there are still plants in the rainforest that
never,
Western world hasn't
never
discovered.
Never. One of, I can tell you the same example of my grandfather, the plant, right? The marwai, I know it, right? But the one which is actually impossible to find, he only showed me the leaf. I would need, you know, thousands of leaves you can have, millions of leaves you can have. So I would never find it, because they have only the person who can have it is those people from it. So many tropical plants never as yet have been many that had been already synthesized in certain laboratories. It's impossible, because they have many. And some of them need to be used lively, otherwise you cannot take it, right?
Mm, I mean, it's very important we listen to these teachers.
To the teachers.
They are teachers. The rainforest is precious,
yes.
Not just for the communities, but for the whole of
for the
humanity.
Whole humanity, yes.
Yeah, so thank you very
You're
much
welcome.
For sharing your knowledge.
My pleasure, right? I would like to thank everyone who are going to hear this. I'm born and grew in my nature. I do still speak my dialect. And for me, it's a pleasure to share this with each one of you guys. I would like you to think over all these words they had told everyone, because we really need a help. We really need a help. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been really amazing listening to Joao's story. Thank you so much, Joao, for sharing your knowledge. It's an honour. I hope you all enjoyed the interview with Joao. Humans have the amazing ability to adapt to their environments. We can look at the Inuit who live in freezing cold conditions. We can look at the cultures living in the deserts in Africa, or the cultures living in the tropical rainforests around the planet. These human beings have adapted to the environment. Cultures in the forest know about plants that people in the West haven't really heard about. We need to start listening to what these cultures have to say, because they're the ones who are connecting more with the natural environment, and they are the ones who can see the effects that humans are having on nature. Thank you so much. Stay happy, stay blessed, keep it real.